What's up, everybody? Before we get today's episode going, I want to remind you to please check out and support our PowerPlay Patreon page. For just $2 a month, you get access to all of our bonus content like drafts, trivia, story time, and you get the episodes ad-free and one day early. So please take the time and support this independent podcast by going to patreon.com/thepowerplaypod. That's patreon.com/thepowerplaypod to support the boys.
As they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Well, it can't be a one-man show out there. Gotta have all the boys involved. Gotta be willing to go to the dirty areas.
Hey, what's up, all you NHL and all you hockey fans? Kevin Weeks here. Just want to say welcome to the Power Play Podcast.
Welcome into another edition of the Power Play Podcast. I am your host, the one and only Vinny Milani, alongside the boys. The boys are back. Jeeker, Anthony, the backup. How's it going, boys? Anthony, the father, I will start with you. What's up?
Great. Dad life. Living that dad life. The boy's sleeping in his own room now, so we're getting a little peace and quiet in the nighttime, which is great. These games are starting at 8, which is a perfect time for me to, like, kind of pay attention the first two periods. The boy's down by the third, and I'm watching the third, so it's been great.
Jeeker, how about you over there?
I'm getting old, boys. I was saying before the show, I had a softball game last night, hit the goddamn cover off the ball, woke up this morning, neck's not feeling too hot, but pretty good. Been busy. I started my job a couple weeks ago. I think this is my fifth week. So just moving along. A lot of big boy responsibilities now. It's a little different, but
living the retired life.
I'm here. Yeah. No more retired life. It's rookie life nowadays.
Rookie life.
Two things now. You just put on a Mariners hat. I'm going to have to ask you about that. But first off, everyone's dying to know, how's the men's league career going?
I'm very out of shape. we've played three games. We have won one. It's just very out of shape. It's very disappointing. Very upset with myself. So
too much of that pizza life?
Start working out.
Sounds like every time.
Maybe just like that and like not working out at all. I have been putting a home gym in my house. A couple of my buddies and I have been chipping in for things. And we got some weights and we got to get a bar. I went to the store actually today after work and tried to get a bar because Dick said they had it on their website and they just didn't have it. So we're getting there. We're piecing it together. But it honestly makes me hate hockey even more that I'm not good. Not as good as I used to be.
You got to get some pointers from Anthony. He's the BHL pro on the show. He's got like 6 beer league championships. Okay. You got to get some pointers.
Okay.
From
well,
him.
You got to give me more than 3 games to prove myself here. I mean, like,
it's okay. Jaker, I'll coach you up. You're okay. Win a beer league champion. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. That's fair.
Anthony, I still don't understand how Anthony has so many men's league championships. His entire travel hockey career was like he never won anything playing travel hockey, but somehow ends up having six straight championships.
I never won anything as a youth hockey player. And I mean, I have medals upon medals of like second place, third place, participation. Like there's no first place trophies in my case whatsoever. But I've hoisted the keg several times,
but big keg guy.
You know, I don't want to brag on myself too much. You know, no, enough about me. Let's get this rolling. A lot of hockey to talk about.
Yeah, a lot of hockey to talk about. We've got conference playoffs going on right now. Tampa Bay Lightning and the New York Islanders on as we speak. The Vegas Golden Knights and the Dallas Stars out in the West. We're going to be talking game one, game two. Game one and game two for the Eastern Conference as well. We've got the return of the power play court. It is myself versus Jeeker coming up in a little bit with Anthony being the judge. But before we get into all of that, we got to pay the bills here. Don't forget to follow us on all of our social media platforms at the Power Play Pod on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And please support our Patreon page at patreon.com/thepowerplaypod. Support the boys. Get the extra bonus content. We're dropping drafts. We're dropping game shows. We're dropping everything. It's must-see on the Patreon. So follow us there, patreon.com/thepowerplaypod. let's get into it. Let's start off hot, boys. Let's get into this people's court here, this power play court going on. Me versus Jeeker. Anthony, would you like to tell everybody what it's about since you are the judge, or do you even know what it's about?
Power, I know what it's about. Oh, what you guys are talking about? I have no idea.
Yeah. Okay, then there you go.
I have no idea. I'm assuming judge based on here. I'm assuming based on the pre-show that you want Torts to be Jack Adams and Jeeker does not.
Well, Jack Adams has already been decided, and Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kids won the Jack Adams Award. The President's Trophy winning Bruce Cassidy takes home the Jack Adams Award. It was announced tonight about it. The finalists were John Tortorella of the Columbus Blue Jackets, Bruce Cassidy of the Boston Bruins, and I believe Elaine Vigneault of the of the Philadelphia Flyers. And
all three
Cassidy
very
took home
candidates, I'd say.
Yeah, Cassidy took it home, and I believe John Tortorella should have been the Jack Adams winner. Jeeker believes you believe Bruce Cassidy. I don't want to put words in your mouth here, Jeeker. Do you believe?
Yeah, I believe Bruce Cassidy should be the goddamn Jack Adams winner. It's not even close.
All right, so order the court.
How are you even gonna put Tortorella in the conversation as being the best coach in the fucking league?
Okay. We're both gonna have chances to explain. Jeeker, go ahead. Jeeker, go ahead. Say your case. Go ahead. You first.
The Columbus Blue Jackets are a middle of the pack team who have a very, very average record and a very, very sub-zero goal differential. And the Boston Bruins have the stats in my hand. The Boston Bruins played 70 games and had 100 points. So if a full season was played, that's 82 games. You can probably count on them to get 118 to 120 points. That's almost as good as Tampa Bay last year. And since the award is not involving the playoffs, that's a strictly a regular season award. That's almost unheard of in some cases. And granted, they have a really good team, but they also had a lot of injuries. Krejci was out for a long time. They traded away a bunch of guys during that time that they were in their top nine. Like, you look at guys like Danton Heinen, and they got back a guy like Nick Ritchie who barely plays. Their decor is either extremely young or extremely old. And then they have good goaltending, but it's never been the most consistent. You don't hear about like Tuukka Rask leading the league in all these stats and all these categories and stuff, but he's a good goalie. I think just on the sheer nature of the amount of games they won and the amount of points they probably could have had the season gone the whole way, I think it's just a no-brainer that he should be in the lead there.
Okay. All right. Vincent, rebuttal?
It's all fair points. But let me start this argument by asking some questions here. Which team on paper do you think has the better lineup, Boston or Columbus?
Boston.
On paper. Is it even close?
I don't think it's extremely as far as you think it is.
Is it, though?
It really isn't, man.
I think it is. I think it is. You look up and down the Columbus Blue Jackets lineup, and you look up and down the Boston Bruins lineup. I don't think it's close, especially if we all top back into the time travel machine here, go back to the beginning of the season. A lot of people had the Columbus Blue Jackets being the worst team in the Metropolitan Division. The worst. The worst team.
No, I agree with that, but my point to this matter is they're going to reward a coach for being a middle of the pack team.
They're ninth
in the Eastern Conference. It's literally the halfway point.
But to do what he did for a team that did not stand that shouldn't have been where they were. I think this is the problem with the NHL awards. Like the Norris Trophy, for example, I think it's given to whichever defenseman scores the most points and has the most goals. 90% of the time, that's who it's given to. I don't think it's given to the best actual defenseman. That's where I see a problem. And I think this Jack Adams should be given to the best coach who does the best for – who takes their team and actually leads them to victory as opposed to just having a lot of great players on their team and then winning the President's Trophy because of that. No disrespect to Bruce Cassidy and what he's done in Boston. I just think what John Tortorella has done in Columbus with a team like he has in Columbus, who were obviously on paper before the season even started, they were supposed to be a last place team. And then he ends up taking them to the playoffs and they played phenomenal. I believe they had like 50
but you can't even talk about the playoffs though. The playoffs don't.
No, I'm not. I'm talking about that second half of the season when they were making that push for the playoffs. He ended up getting that team together and rallying them to a major push. I believe he had, I can't remember the stat. He had a lot of points in 44 games towards the end of the season. I can't remember the exact stat, but he took a team of misfits. That losing Artemi Panarin in the offseason, that's a major loss. Losing Sergei Bobrovsky in the offseason was a major loss. Obviously, Bobrovsky has not played well in Florida, but you lose those two key pieces, and he does this with a team that was supposed to be last place. That's all I got
to
say.
See, I don't think they were supposed to be last place. And I think the reason they were so good in the second half is Merzlikins got hot. I mean, I look at their roster, and yes, their bottom depth is not good, but their top end guys are very good.
Are you taking Boston's top end guys, or are you taking Columbus's top end guys?
To be honest with you, I'm taking Columbus's defense over Boston's defense 1,000%.
Oh, but
without question.
So, okay, first line for Columbus, forwards and defensemen.
Okay.
Well, that's what I'm asking. The forwards and defensemen and goaltending, that first line, three forwards, two defensemen, and one goaltender. Are you taking?
Oh, you're
going to
take Boston all the time, but you can't make it. I'm going
to
take Boston, but you can't make it seem like Columbus Blue Jackets were supposed to be the Colorado Avalanche of 3 years ago.
No, but I'm saying
good.
All right, we've heard enough.
Sam Mackinson is almost a 35 goal scorer. Pierre-Luc Dubois is a third overall pick. You got Boone Jenner, who's a very good.
Don't you credit any
forward.
Of? Wouldn't you I credit mean, that like, to John Tortorella though?
We're going off the rails here. I've heard enough. I think everyone's heard enough here. I'm ready to make a ruling.
Oh boy!
All right, I've heard both sides, both arguments. Bruce Cassidy deserves to be the Jack Adams winner based on the testimony of one Travis Jake.
I don't know about that one, buddy.
Here's
my final statement. This is going to put the final nail in the coffin. I just looked at the standings for the year. If this was not the new wild card bullshit standings, Columbus would not have made the playoffs. They would have been out of the playoffs. You cannot give a coach an award for not making the playoffs. So there's the final nail in the coffin.
So let me just ask you a question, though.
Yeah, that's tough.
Do we have two wild card teams in the playoffs?
Okay.
Do we?
I'll go to the SPHL. Are you going to give the coach of the year to the fifth best place team because they're the midway?
I'm
going
to give it to the coach that can make an actual difference for his team. That's who I'm giving it to. That's who I'm giving it to, who actually makes a difference
Ooh,
for his
Matt
team.
Martin rather, just got knocked down.
Similar to John Cooper in Tampa.
I don't think Torts made as big of an impact as you're thinking. I think they got guys that are hot. I think they had a goalie that came in and won a bunch of games in a row and. You're not going to say that it's the coach's doing that a goalie got hot. He's going to ride his hot goalie. That's all.
I just think that in that system that he had in Columbus where everyone bought in, I don't know. We'll move on. Jeker, you get the dub. I'm not going to be a sore loser about it. Congrats on winning the power play court here. We move on. Matt Martin just scrapped with, I think, Luke Shen of the Tampa Bay Lightning during our game.
Yeah, Luke Shen got him good.
During the show here. Yeah, he did. He did. Shen kind of rolled up on him too and like challenged him. Matt Martin obliged and they were tossing him though. So that was a good scrap. I guess we'll start off with that. The Tampa Bay Lightning and the New York Islanders will get into our conference game. Oh, they're chirping back and forth in the penalty box too. This is fantastic.
Yeah. Well, Martin's more known for being a tough guy. So for him to not come out on top there probably hurts his pride a little bit.
No, Matt Martin's a goal scorer this year. He's got more goals in the playoffs than he has.
I'm just saying.
He has five goals in the playoffs.
In general, you know.
Yeah, I know. I'm just kidding.
So we get into it, though. Game one, the New York Islanders and the Tampa Bay Lightning went about as good for the Tampa Bay Lightning as Jeker's softball career so far. It went.
Whoa, Miss Lippy. I'm watching the game. Sorry.
Was that a Billy Madison reference?
Of course.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Lippy.
Thank you very much.
Fantastic reference. So, no, either way, the Tampa Bay Lightning started off red hot, though, against the New York Islanders. 8-2 final score. It was an absolute beatdown from the Tampa Bay Lightning.
A ship pumping, if you will.
Yeah, an absolute ship pumping from the Tampa Bay Lightning. we saw them do it. We saw them do such a thing to Bruce Cassidy's Boston Bruins in the last round, where it was an absolute shit pumping. And
they did the same thing to Columbus too, Vinny.
They didn't massacre Columbus like that though.
Yes, I don't think there Tortorella should have won the Jack Adams.
I'm glad you admitted it.
Oh my God, you guys.
No, either way, game one, 8-2 final. What did you guys see in that game that stood out to you the most, Jeeger? Mr. Winner of the power play court.
Yeah. Didn't watch the whole game. I was actually at softball coaching for a lot of that game. But from what I gathered, I think Tampa Bay obviously manhandled them. But I really think that the lack of experience in the playoffs with the Islanders kind of showed their heads there, probably a little bit of nerves. For some reason, I don't know why Barry Trotz went back with Thomas Grace in that game. I think he started that game, correct? Or am I wrong?
Yep, he did. Yeah.
I don't know why he would go back with Grace to start that game. Varlamov has taken them as far as they have, pretty much. I mean, granted, Grace has played some games, but
Grace won them that game 7 against Philadelphia.
Yeah,
that was the.
I agree that he did that.
I wouldn't say he won them. I think
I didn't mean it like that.
He won them that game.
I didn't mean it like that. I meant he was the goaltender in net for the game 7 dub over the Philadelphia Flyers.
They may have won that game without a goalie at all.
Either way, that remains to be seen. He got the shutout against the Philadelphia Flyers, and that's – we talk about riding the hot hand in goaltenders, and – you know, I talked about this. We can plug the Patreon here while I'm at it. We talked about this, Anthony and I did, during our Patreon exclusive conference preview episode that we did. And we talked about how goaltending has been very unusual throughout these playoffs. And we're seeing a lot of different things. Coaches have to make the right decisions on their goaltenders. And like I said, you can listen to that at our Patreon, patreon.com/powerplaypod. Going with Grice to start game one, obviously bad move, but Varlamov didn't show any signs of positivity in that game either. Obviously,
he came in relief, so I
100% agree.
Different when you're the backup goalie. There's no question about that.
I 100% agree.
I wouldn't put any of that on Varlamov at all, because when you come in cold, it's a different ball game. You didn't. You should always be prepared as an NHL goaltender, but it's just a different situation.
I agree, especially in playoffs too,
because you know that it's a 7-game series. So I mean, if you're down 3-4-0, a lot of the times I bet you guys kind of just pack it in and save their energy for the next game.
That's it. You're not going.
So I mean, I'm sure Varlamov didn't get the best team in front of him that they could have been. So
no, he was left
out.
You get
to take it with a grain of salt at that point. Yeah.
Yeah,
left out to dry a lot.
And I think personally, from what I saw between the Islanders and Tampa in game one, the Islanders or Tampa forced the Islanders to play a style that they were not used to playing. Like in their first round series against the Panthers and the second round series against Washington, third round series against Philadelphia, they didn't have to play a team that was as fast paced as the Tampa Bay Lightning with the amount of stars that they have on the Tampa Bay Lightning side. I think it was just kind of like a culture shock to me for the New York Islanders facing Tampa in game one. Anthony, what are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. They couldn't keep up with the Lightning speed. Their neutral zone trap wasn't working because Lightning are too fast. They're getting pucks to loose areas and they're winning every puck battle with speed. I mean, look at the first goal. Braden Point comes in pretty much untouched. No one could keep up with him. He turned whoever the defender was. I don't remember who it was. He literally couldn't turn around fast. By the time he turned around, Point was already in front of the net about to score. It was and it was like that all game. The Lightning were winning every puck battle. The Islanders had they couldn't do anything because they couldn't beat the Lightning to the puck. It didn't matter what system they were running. The Lightning were getting the puck to open areas and beating the Islanders to every single loose puck. It was all night. It was the Islanders looked out of their league.
Tampa put on a clinic for them.
I mean, I don't want to mess anything up that you had for later, but I had the Islanders winning the series. And after last night,
it's definitely
I've completely changed my opinion.
Yeah, it's. it definitely didn't look good. And I talked about it in my, I don't know if you guys have seen it, check me out on Facebook at Vinny. I believe I'm Vinny Powerplay also on Facebook as like the link name. But I've been doing some post game videos for school. And I talked about that beatdown from Tampa in game one. And I made an apology to Braden Point in that video, because I've been on Braden Point all season long saying that he's needed the people around him to make him the player he is, rather than him making the players around him. Completely apologize for that, because I was terribly wrong. Braden Point is the best player on the Tampa Bay Lightning. He's been an absolute stud for the Tampa Bay Lightning. What have you seen from him, Jeeker, as a former player yourself? What have you seen from Braden Point that kind of stands out?
He's just very, he's simple, but he's not at the same time. Like, I don't see him do anything like super flashy. He just knows kind of where to be, when to be there. And obviously he's probably one of the fastest guys on the team. So, for that style of play, but he's obviously one of the better ones at it. But I mean, he's not overly flashy. He's not going to try to, you know, look at Kucherov, and he's got all the fancy hands and, you know, the big shot and all that stuff. Whereas, you know, I don't want to say he's kind of like a skilled grinder, but he's kind of like a skilled grinder. He's not one of those guys that's going to wow you with everything. I mean, that goal he scored the other night was really nice.
It was unreal.
I think he just knows where to be and when to be there. And
I've got breaking news on the pod. I've got somewhat breaking news on the pod. Braden Point has went to the locker room. Although this won't matter for people listening tomorrow to it, Braden Point has gone to the locker room for the Tampa Bay Lightning and has not returned. So that would be a huge loss, as we talk about how skilled he is and how big of a player he's been for the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Jeeker, I do have a Smythe worthy performance.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And Jeeker, I actually have one more question for you specifically on this one. The Tampa Bay Lightning have something, and Anthony and I kind of discussed this in our preview. Tampa Bay Lightning have a very active defense. Their defense has been active on the offensive side, active at the point, and it's been something that the Islanders have not been able to handle, and no one really has been able to handle. Hedman's been producing. Shattenkirk's been playing well. What do you think, as a defenseman of the game, what do you think about how Tampa is playing this system? They're rolling 7D, by the way. 7D.
Yeah, Cooper likes doing 11-7 for some reason. I never understood that.
Do you not like 11? I mean, do you not just like that style?
No, hell no. Not at all.
Do tell.
It's just you don't have any rhythm. I mean, you don't go out with the same guy every time, and just it doesn't make sense. If even why would you take something that's even and break it up? I just never understood it. I mean, I'm granted I'm biased, and I like the way that Tampa Bay plays the up-tempo style, but it's not going to beat the Islanders, I don't think. I think they got, I don't want to say lucky that first game, but I think that, like I said, the inexperience of the Islanders beat them up a little bit. But the thing that I have to bring up is the two different styles of play right now, with everything that happened with COVID, the defensive style is going to win a championship. Simple. And these guys, they've obviously played a little bit now, but they had a big break and they had, you know, all that time. And the thing that I'm seeing, at least from the game that I'm watching right now, you can always take a defensive team and make them even more defensive. You can't take a speed team and make them faster. You're going as fast as you can. Whereas, okay, the Islanders play like that trap defensive style game. Okay, you got blown out because you tried to match the speed. What do you do tonight? You play a deeper trap. And I mean, it's right now it's kind of showing. Granted, I could rant about the goal Tampa scored because I don't think it was a goal, but it's midway through the second period and Tampa has 8 shots on that.
Yeah, I mean, the Islanders have definitely,
from what I've seen, the Islanders have been outplaying them. That goal was not a goal, and I'm going to rant about it at some point. But
and that's actually something that I wanted to talk about. Anthony, you have been very you've talked about, you and I both have talked about John Cooper and his inability to coach a good game in the playoffs. Trotz obviously has made a difference in this game so far and has changed up and made the proper adjustments to keep it close. What do you think? Do you think Cooper is going to be able to adjust?
He hasn't had a history of being able to adjust his game plan on the fly. We did see it last year when Columbus had an answer for them. They couldn't figure it out. This year seemed a little different. I mean, they got past that Columbus hump where, you know, Columbus was really giving it to them and they figured out how to beat him. So right now, the way that Lightning are rolling, I don't doubt anything. But I'll be right back, boys. You continue on.
Yeah, no.
I don't think it's a coach. I think you guys are too hard on John Cooper. I really do. I think it's the style of play. And it, like I said, it goes back to what I just said about the speed game to the defensive game. You can't just change your style from a speed game to a defensive game mid-game. Your speed game is what has taken you this far. And look at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's the same way. I'm not going to sit here and say Mike Sullivan should have won the Jack Adams. But, I mean, he's not a bad coach, and you can't change the style.
It's about
if you change the style, it changed the whole – I'm telling you, man, you change the style – it changes the whole
now,
locker
is it
room.
The,
it changes everything.
Is it the same as? Because I mean, obviously, I mean, I don't like harping on this, but last year when they played the Columbus Blue Jackets, you never really saw any adjustments from John Cooper to change.
There's not a lot of way to do it to adjust it. Look, it's the same exact thing that happened to Pittsburgh. They lost the Islanders before. It's
so
the
what
style
do you do
play.
As a coach,
honestly,
though, what do? You just let it happen. I mean, you can't just
you
let it happen.
Have
what
to.
Do you?
Well, you kind of have to at this point. I mean, like. You can try to be a little more defensive. Your D-man can be a little bit more passive. You know, I saw Pittsburgh a lot last year, tried pinching, and they gave up a lot of two-on-ones and stuff like that. But
I think it's definitely
You got yourself to a point doing the style that you – look at Pittsburgh won two championships with it. Like, I honestly think the game is changing again in that, you know, a couple years ago it was all speed, and it worked. And Pittsburgh won two championships. And you look at a guy like Carl Hagelin, who was crucial for those cup wins for the Pens. And he's now an irrelevant hockey player. He's off third line, doesn't do a lot for Washington. So, you know, look at a team like the Islanders, and like I said, especially right now with this whole shutdown and everything like that, you gotta.
Yeah, simplify the game.
Right now, it's simple, and that's what the Islanders do. And Pittsburgh and Boston and Tampa, they don't play simple. They play very, very aggressive, and they're very, very up-tempo. And granted, I think during the year that works, and maybe I'm wrong in saying that the COVID has made that kind of irrelevant right now, but maybe next year next year something like that will happen. But for this moment in time, the perfect example of this is the team that's going to win the Stanley Cup in Las Vegas. They're simple, but they're also flashy.
Yeah, that's actually, and we'll wrap up this Eastern Conference talk with this. We talked about a little bit in the Patreon exclusive. I talked about how things are obviously changing a little bit inside the bubble with certain things, and I asked Anthony if the Flyers had an excuse for why they lost because of the bubble and it derailing them. That's beside the point. With this, do you think that this fast-paced style of play would be actually effective if it wasn't in the COVID bubble? Like if the playoffs were to kind of roll on like it was supposed to?
I think that the Islanders, the way they play, have been that's how they've been successful in the regular season. I don't think it changes much that we're in a bubble now or times pass. It's a two different styles of play clashing, and that neutral zone trap is very effective against teams who aren't named Tampa Bay Lightning so far. in this playoff, they've even though the Flyers technically took them to seven, it always felt like the Islanders kind of were in control of that series. And it's been like that pretty much throughout the playoffs for them, and you know, until a couple nights ago and Lightning came and just absolutely wrecked that system.
Yeah, I still think that's a fluke, though. I don't think that's the indicative of how the series is going
to
go at all.
I mean, it's still 1-1 tonight, which is kind of – that's exactly how the Islanders like to play. They like to play those
tight – should be 1-0, but
– they like to play those tight – well, yeah, for sure. But they like to play those tight games. So it's a good game for the Islanders to be in if it's going to be tight like this.
Perfect segue, though, now that we – yeah, now, yeah, Nelson's back, and Point is still in the locker room for Tampa, which is a big, big loss. No, but, Jeeker, you were talking about how you think that game one was a fluke and you don't see that continuing. What do you see continue? What do you see happening, and who do you have coming out of the series?
Islanders and I'm going to say Islanders in seven to be conservative, but I really believe Islanders in six.
Wow. Anthony and I both had the Islanders in seven in our preview. Anthony, you said you changed a little bit, though.
Oh, you can't change after one game. Holy mackerel.
Are you? No, I'm not. That's what I'm going to ask. Are you changing
I'm not changing my prediction. I'm going to stay water. Okay. Just like Jerry said, one game, I'm going to stay water. But after game one, I felt like an idiot.
Yeah. I felt
like a dummy for sure. Because, I mean, it wasn't just a win. It was just an absolute mess. I mean, the only thing that may help me is, like Jacob pointed out, after 3-4-0, Islanders might be thinking, hey, like, it's not our night. Let's not blow the whole series on game one. Let's regroup, watch the tape, figure it out.
Also, Nelson's probably going to go back to the locker room after that.
Yeah,
He's back down again, yeah.
Oh, they're going to show the hit here, the Killorn hit.
They showed the Killorn hit, yeah.
Unnecessary hit. Yeah. That was just unnecessary.
I think the second one was just as bad.
Yeah, I think both are pretty bad. Either way, that's a big lie. I guess they didn't teach you how to hit. I guess they didn't teach you how to hit.
Cross check to the face isn't a penalty in the NHL.
I guess they didn't teach you how to hit it at Harvard. I guess.
Here we go. That's who thing. We got
a scrap off the draw here.
Maroon and
you're ahead of us, you jerk.
Maroon and Martin. They tried.
Martin, going, yeah, Matt Martin. They didn't go.
Nah, just a little tussle. Nothing crazy.
That's unfortunate. Oh. That'd be a heavyweight scrap, though. So, Anthony, you're sticking with the Islanders in seven. Jeeker, you're Islanders in seven. I will also stick to my guns and say Islanders in seven. My predictions have been terribly wrong all playoffs long, so might as well stick to my guns here and hope for the best. We move over to the Western Conference. The Vegas Golden Knights, I believe it's 1-1 now. Yeah, Vegas won the other night. And, oh, man, Dallas won game one in a 1-0 just defensive battle. Dallas, Khudobin got pulled the other night, which is, I guess, obviously they'll put him back in for game three, I would assume. But on the Vegas side, I don't know what's up with Ben Bishop. I honestly don't know what is happening with him.
They're being hush hush. They just say he's not fit to play.
Yeah, so it doesn't make sense with him. But either way, though, Vegas is the exact opposite of what the Islanders were in after game one. They had a good goaltender in Fleury play good in game one, and then they had Robin Lehner, who obviously has continued to play well. They've had to decide between two good goaltenders, whereas the Islanders have had to decide between two so-so goaltenders.
Greiss and Varlamov have been great through the playoffs. Greiss had a bad game.
I don't think they've been as
Varlamov
good as
– should have been, as Jake alluded to earlier –
I'm just saying they haven't been as good. They haven't been as good as Fleury and Lehner is what I'm saying here. They haven't.
They haven't had to be.
I mean, Robin Lehner has, I believe, four shutouts now in the playoffs.
I said they haven't had to be.
Yeah, but what does that even mean? What does that even mean? They haven't had to, like, obviously their defense is playing good in front of them, but they're still. But Robin Lehner has been still making incredible saves for the Knights.
I think he means they haven't had to play these 1-0, 2-1 games.
It's almost like, not it's solely relying on the goalie. It's not worth talking about because it's two totally different situations. The Islanders aren't relying on their goaltending like the Vegas Knights have been. Lehner's
fair.
A huge part of that team, and when he makes those big saves, he's getting the boys going. They're scoring goals out on the other end. It's almost as important as Ryan Reeves yelling from the bench.
Dude, we've found that has been
very important for whatever reason. Ryan Reeves being on the bench has been super important.
Dude, I can't believe it. Like,
he doesn't have to play.
He doesn't even have to play, and the boys are just buzzing off of that. And that's honestly one of the questions that I have listed to talk about. Jeeker, you played at a professional, obviously not at the NHL level, but you've played at a very high level. Did you ever have any of those type of players on your team that obviously weren't the best of hockey players, but they just chirped, they made those big hits, and it just got the boys buzzing?
Trevor Gillies.
Yeah, there
best
you go.
Best example of that. It's the best example I have. Trevor Gillies.
Former New York Islander.
Can you help elaborate, though, for the listeners, though, what it means to have – because, I mean, as a casual fan, I was on another show – last week discussing like the playoffs, and these guys were casual viewers, so they didn't know what specifically to look out for. And I told them, I was like, if you want goal scoring, watch Colorado, watch Tampa. This was obviously before the playoffs before Colorado got eliminated. But I told him if you want scoring, watch Tampa and Colorado. And then they talked about how they're looking for big hits, chirping, the physical play. And I was like, okay, say no more. Watch the Vegas Golden Knights. Watch Ryan Reeves. My question to you, Jeager, can you elaborate to those casual fans what it means to have a player like Ryan Reeves on your team?
Man, you feel safe. Like, you have a guy that you know will go battle anyone no matter what, and you just don't have any – you can play a little freer knowing that you have a guy like that. Like, for me, it was my first year pro. It was preseason, and I became pretty good friends with Gilly. So I sat next to the locker room and stuff, and one of the guys – I was playing forward at the time. Another one of the guys on Alaska was – I played against him in college. He's 6'4", 230, just an absolute horse. And he was trying to get me to go. At the time, I was like 190 pounds. And he was trying to get me to fight him. Gillies was like, no. Come on, here to fight somebody. Fight me. Just knowing that, like, you look at Gills and say, hey, Gills, this guy's, like, trying to get me to go. And what should I do? He goes, I got it. And then start barking at him. You're like, okay.
Okay,
good. Don't have to worry about that. Okay, you know, okay. I was talking about it with my buddies whenever Gillies was on Spittin' Chicklets, and those guys are 1,000% the best teammates. I've never met a guy in that role that's never been like a good guy and a good teammate. And so you just want to be around them, and you want to be friends with them, and you want to have, you know, you want to have the trust of them. And that's exactly what guys like Revo and, for me, Gillies, you know, brought to a team. You felt safe. You if you needed anything, you could always call them or anything, like anything. It's just, they were just there to be like the best guys. And I mean, it's honestly important to have. And I mean, it's kind of unfortunate now that a lot of teams like Tampa and stuff like that don't have a guy like that. Cause I bet you that would, to be honest with you, there's a lot of teams that I think in this league don't have that it factor.
They could benefit from play like that, for sure.
Like, I think the Penguins tried it whenever they got Reeves, and I just don't think it worked for them. But
what a time to be alive where Ryan Reeves is your it factor.
I think it is. I agree. I think that's really part of it. Like, I look at a team like Edmonton, and I don't think they're going to win a Stanley Cup in Connor McDavid's lifetime. Like, I just don't think they have it.
Well, I think it's funny. We talked about it. Anthony and I talked about it the other day about how – It's just weird seeing how big of a role Ryan Reeves is playing for the Vegas Golden Knights right now, and
he's not a bad player. Like, he's not a, no offense to Gillies, but I mean, he's not a Ryan Reeves type skilled player.
Is it fair to say he's like Milan Lucic when he was playing for the Boston Bruins?
No. Not even close. Lucic would put up 25 goals. He's a
poor man's Lucic when he played for Boston. Fair to say,
he's a better version of Sean Thornton.
Okay, yeah, that's more skilled version of
Sean Thornton. I don't think he doesn't have the skill that Lucic does.
Yeah, that's fair. Now on the flip side, Anthony's Stanley Cup winners here, the Dallas Stars. Anthony, how are you feeling about the Stars, and what do you think they need to do to kind of change things up?
I think the Stars will be okay. I still have them going over Vegas in seven, sticking to my guns there. I think that the what's missing from the Stars are their stars. Sagan, Ben, they have to get going. If they can get going and chip in here offensively, they're going to be all right. They'll do exactly as I predicted. But they can't keep relying on rookies to score hat tricks. It's not going to happen. Khudobin has been playing great, but they can't rely on Khudobin to be that all-star goaltender because he's just not. He's a good goaltender, but he's going to need help. And the Stars generally are a good, solid team defensively between Klingberg, Heiskanen.
Heiskanen kid's sick.
Those are big-time players for them who usually do a good job. I mean, even in the 3-0 loss, like not a lot of breakdowns. I think a couple of Vegas' goals were on the power play, if I remember correctly. Radulov took some bad penalties that led to some goals. And then, you know, in the 1-0 loss, they were solid. Or 1-0 win in game one, they were solid again. So they just need to get their stars to get going on the scoreboard. Whatever they got to do, wear the same underwear, flush their stick down the toilet, whatever you got to do to get it going, they got to get it going. Or else my prediction and my $50 bet will be down.
$50 bet.
I put $50 on Dallas winning the Stanley Cup in January. So I think if I win, it's like $300-$400.
Wow, so, look at this guy trying to make a living for his family over here.
Yeah, right. I haven't logged into Bovada. I haven't logged into Bovada in so long that they won't let me log back. I have to like
no free ads.
Log back in. Yeah, no free ads. But once I get back in, I can see how much money is due to me if they win the cup.
He's gonna win. He's gonna forget the password like he forgot the password to Twitter, and he's not gonna be able to get his money. It's basically what's gonna happen.
If there's money, I promise you that won't happen. Don't worry.
If there's money involved, I'll
speaking of Twitter, who's been posted on the Twitter page lately?
This guy.
Unbelievable. This unbelievable. Guy. Now he's getting back into it.
I've had my face in my work computer, man. I haven't had time to do anything.
Gotta get the Twitter on your work computer, buddy.
Nah, it's all good.
It's not allowed.
It's a team effort. Check out the Power Play Pod on Twitter, by the way, at the Power Play Pod. So Anthony, you haven't hit the panic. It's safe to say I think you've hit the panic button for the Islanders on your Game 7 pick. I think it's fair. You're obviously not backing off of that pick. You've hit the panic button, though, after that beat down in Game 1. You haven't hit the panic button on the Stars yet, correct?
No. Dallas and Vegas is going to go back and forth. That series is going to go 7 for sure. Like,
Jeker, you're shaking your head. Are you that big on Vegas over there?
Vegas is going
to
win the cup.
Vegas is a great team.
I think Vegas is going to win the cup as well.
That's a great take.
Do you think Vegas takes it to 7, though?
No.
6 again?
I think Vegas – 6 or 5, yeah.
Wow. What do the Stars have that Jeker might be missing here that gets them to 7 rather than 5 or 6?
I don't think Jaker's missing anything. I think he's just high on Vegas. And at this time of year, there's 4 teams left. They're all great teams. It comes down to little things. I think Jaker's just high on Vegas. Dallas is a great team. They've shown why they're here. They belong here. They have great defense. They're getting good goaltending from Khudobin, which is awesome. And, you know, they have been getting the goals when they need it. Ben did score a very timely goal in the last series against Colorado, coming in off the rush, almost took himself out of the game. But, like, so if those things can happen, if those things can fall into place for them where they can get some early scoring going, get the upper hand early. Because that's the thing. If Robin Leonard makes 15, 20 saves and he's in the zone in the third period, good luck.
He's looked unreal. He has looked unreal.
A guy like Leonard, who's a big guy, he moves fairly well, you have to score on him early. You have to get him. You have to shake him early, because when he's feeling like the way he's been feeling, he looks as big as a house, and you're not going to get through to him. You got to get him off his game, and you got to attack early. They were not hungry enough in Game 2, whereas Vegas came out like they've been shot out of a cannon.
They also weren't hungry in Game 1 either.
They proved that
they can score one goal on 2 of the best goalies in the league right now.
I think Game One was more of a feeling out process for both teams. I think Game 2 really saw Vegas come out with a lot of jump after, you know, a disappointing loss.
I don't think you can count on Khudobin to beat. You got to think about it from this perspective of
the defense.
You just saw their two goalies and you scored one goal. Granted, you got lucky and they didn't score any the first game, but you can't rely on Khudobin to shut out the Vegas Golden Knights. It's not going to happen. I truly don't think that Dallas will score more than 6 goals or 7 goals in the series at most.
It's going to be tied. The way Leonard's playing, I'm not disagreeing with you.
Before we wrap it up, though, Jeker, what does Vegas have that makes you so confident that they go 5 or 6?
Everything. They have balanced scoring throughout the lineup. I mean, you're getting contributions from guys on the fourth line last night. Nosek got a goal. You're getting guys like the leading scorer on their team, goal scoring wise, is the third line guy in Tuck. You know, you've got your big guns. That
Six
are still
Sally
put
Alex
up Tuck. Yeah, he's a clown. but you can still rely on your guy. You know, your Marchand, Soldier, Smith, your Pacioretty's, and those guys are going to
Stone
do what you need to do. Mark Stone's, yeah, like you can rely on your big guns, but the defense I think is what separates them. I mean.
I love Nate Schmidt. I think you have everything.
You have everything you could possibly want on a decor on that team. You got a guy in Shea Theodore who's going to run the power play. He's going to, you know, get you some goals, points. Yeah, he's done. They're just showing him going back to the locker room. So,
well, they showed him kind of crashing into the boards. I wonder.
He's done.
Oh man, that is going to be a huge. Ooh, him crawling over the boards like that is very alarming. But no, either way,
You got guys like Schmidt that you can. You're a two-way defenseman. And then you got guys in the back end, like the back half. They're second and third pairing guys that are real strict defensive PK.
Do you know who one of those guys is? Nick Holden. Nick Holden, former New York Ranger.
Jonathan Marchessault
as a former Ranger player, okay? I don't like saying
they let him go. They let him go when he was in the AHL. That's even worse. That just says how bad they are at evaluating talent, but that's another podcast.
That's a whole other podcast. I have Vegas in seven. Dallas in seven.
I have Jeker
has sticking with Vegas in five. That might happen, man. I wouldn't be surprised.
I took the safe route on the last series, on the Islander series, saying the Islanders in seven when I think six. I'll take the hefty approach with Vegas and say five when it probably is going to be six.
It's going to be great to see in the end. We will start wrapping this up, boys. Anthony, do you have any final words before we wind it down?
I would just like to invite those who haven't already to check out our Patreon. Look at the different tiers. If you join even our lowest tier, you get access to, I'm thinking by now, we've probably racked up at least 25, 30 interviews that are only accessible, or at least were early releases at one time, to the Patreon. So you're getting access to a lot of interviews, a lot of content that's already on there. Plus, we're pumping out content like this is going to be early. We have an exclusive conference finals review that is only on our Patreon. So just go check it out. Even at the lowest tier, it really helps. It really helps us.
$2.
$2 a month. It keeps us doing
that. McChickens.
And we can do more of what we're doing with that. So
we can do better than two McChickens a month, okay?
Yep.
Great. That's it right there. Jaker, any final words, buddy?
Let's go, Mariners.
After the pod, we're going to have to discuss that. I need to know where those ties, okay? Either way, though, thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode of the Power Play Podcast. Don't forget to follow the boys on social media at the Power Play Pod. That's Twitter. That's Instagram. That's Facebook. We are all over it. Check us out there. And like Anthony said, sign up for our Patreon page at patreon.com/thepowerplaypod. patreon.com/thepowerplaypod to support the boys. Just $2, just two McChickens a month. And you can support the boys and get all of our bonus coverage. It's great to be there on the pod page or on the Patreon page. Fantastic stuff. For Anthony, the backup, for Jeker, I am the one and only Vinny Milani. Thank you and have a good night or day whenever you're listening.
See ya.
Bye.
What did you forget over there?
I forgot if I said bye or see ya. I had to take a minute. It's been a while. I was like, do I say bye or see ya? See ya. Okay, got it. Good. Done.